You're listening to the Daily Mishnah Podcast with Benedict.
Now, we've been dealing with these brain teasers about consent consent and capacity and what that means. And we've forgotten, or we might have forgotten, but way back in the 10th chapter of Yevamot, we learned a Mishnah about a woman whose husband went overseas. Haisha shalach balala min li medinat hayam. A woman whose husband goes overseas, and then the witnesses come back and say, your husband died. And the situation actually in that Mishnah is that she marries, and then the husband returns. So she's now married to two people, and it's actually disastrous for her. Both of them have to give her a get. She doesn't get her ketubah. It's a financial disaster for her. And the Gemara suggests actually that this is some kind of a financial penalty for not taking care to really investigate if you hear your husband's dead. Perhaps. Anyway, that is the subject matter in chapter 10. And now we're going to jump into chapter 15, or we're going to continue on chapter 15. And we're going to address exactly the same issues about, what happens if news comes from overseas? And to what extent do we believe it or not believe it? And we're going to see, by the way, in chapter 15, you know, the question of believing the witnesses, you know, seem problematic. There's a terrible penalty if we're too quick to believe the witnesses. But if the woman herself gives testimony, we believe her. Ha'isha she'alcha hi uvala bi medinat hayam. So a woman went with her husband to a country beyond the sea. And this is seems to be a time of, if you like, stability. Shalom beinu uveina, there was peace between him and her. Veshalom ba'olam, there's peace in the world. I mean, what a just interesting to read this comment in the Mishnah, as if the Mishnah knows there are times of war and times of peace, and presumably times of war coming, times of chaos, when you can't tell whether someone is alive or dead. And someone may have been wounded. I mean, the Gemara says, well, maybe someone's wounded in war and you don't know whether he's going to recover or not. But anyway, we're talking about a time of peace, peace between him and her and peace in the world. But ve'amra meit bali tinase. She comes back and she says, my husband is dead. And she can remarry. In other words, she can remarry on her own evidence. And you can look at it in kind of all kinds of different ways. I mean, normally we need two witnesses, right? For any legal issue, you need two witnesses. And we certainly don't believe a witness who's connected, right? So the sages are really, if you like, stretching their necks out to say, look, you know, we believe her, single witness. And maybe it's because they're really afraid of creating agunot, of creating women who can't marry anybody, women whose husbands have left them, women who are widows but can't remarry at all. Maybe they're afraid of agunot. Or maybe they know that, you know, the consequences of getting married to two men and, you know, possible children being mamzerim, maybe the sages know the consequences of getting married to two men are so awful that no woman would possibly, you know, get herself into that situation. Anyway, the halacha is that we believe her. Tinaseh. And if her husband died childless, and again, this is implied by the Mishnah. The Mishnah, I mean, we're in Yevamot, so we're always talking about husbands who died childless. And the Mishnah never says, oh yeah, he died childless. But the Mishnah just says, mate ba'ali, my husband died. But we're come to assume that he died childless because the Mishnah goes on, teach yabem, she can have yibum. So in other words, we believe her. We believe her on one witness. That's when conditions are stable. Shalom beino levena u milchama ba'olam. if there's peace between him and her, but there's war in the world. So we really don't know. We don't have strong information as to whether people are alive or dead. I mean, we don't have it and she doesn't have it. She may not really know whether the husband is alive or dead. Tata bein oluveina. Maybe there's an argument between him and her. Veshalom ba'olam. So the world is peaceful, but they are not peaceful. And there's some anxiety. There must be some anxiety about her giving this evidence in order to become forbidden to him. The Mishnah doesn't go into the question of whether he's abusive or, you know, why there was an argument. Anyway. But ve'amra meit ba'li eina nemenet. So in that case, she comes and says, my husband is dead, and she's not believed. Now, Rabbi Yudah is going to come in. Rabbi Yudah omer. Lo'olam eina nemenet. Rabbi Yudah says she is never believed. Eila imken bat bocha uvagadeha kruim. Unless she comes weeping, she's never believed. Unless she shows up weeping with torn garments. In other words, she's never believed unless she looks like a fresh widow. Amrulo achat zo veachat zo tinase. They said to him, whether she shows up with torn garments or not, achat zo veachat zo, it's the same halacha. However she shows up, tinase, she can marry in either case. And the Gemara actually brings a statement that I found so amusing. I couldn't resist bringing it on the source sheet. Tanya, there's a baraita, there's a saying in the Talmud. Amrulo the Rabbi Yudah. The rabbi said to Rabbi Yudah, this is after he made this claim, right? That she had to show up crying with torn clothes. So the rabbi said to him, Lidvarecha pikachat tinase. According to your statement, a pikachat. Now we've had this word pikachat before. It was in opposition to chereshet. Remember, the chereshet is a deaf mute, and a pikachat is someone who's completely in control of her senses. So I've translated here as a sound woman, someone who knows what is going on. Right? Pokeach ivrim is opens the eyes. A woman who knows what's going on is going to marry. Why? Because obviously she knows she has to show up crying with torn clothes. So if she knows what to do, she'll do it. And then, shota lo tinase, a foolish woman won't. Shote is basically not quite an idiot. It's someone of really limited mental capacity. It's not a shota. It's a simpleton. A simpleton won't get married. And of course, again, you can see the rabbis do not want agunot, and certainly they don't want, if you like, women of limited mental capacities are gunot. So, shotalotinase, a foolish woman won't marry. Ela, achat zov, achat zov, tinase. Both this one and that one can marry. We accept her testimony. Let's just carry on and play this a bit further, because Beit Hillel, Rabbi Yudah objected, and the sages knock him down. And Beit Hillel are going to object too. And by the way, normally we follow Beit Hillel, but we're not. Beit Hillel are going to object, but we are not going to follow Beit Hillel. Really interesting that the rabbis are defending they are going out and they're defending the testimony of this lone woman. Beit Hillel omrim, lo shamanu eile bava'a minakatsir bilivad. We only heard this halacha with respect to a woman who came from the harvest. So sounds like a whole bunch of them went out harvesting, and I don't know, maybe something happened, maybe a snake bit one of them, or he fell into a stream. Anyway, a whole bunch of them went out harvesting, and one of them died. And the rest came back, and they said, oh, yeah, Fred died. So actually, there were witnesses. There were witnesses, and the woman shows up, and she's got evidence her husband died. Amru lahem Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai said to them, well, it's the same whether she came from the harvest or from the olives. And it doesn't matter. It's the same. She came from a country across the sea. the sages only spoke of the harvest as, well, literally in the present. The hove is the present tense. Lodi brug bakatsir eila ba hove. They only talked about it in the present tense. That means as an example. In other words, they bring this as a sort of present example. I should have translated it as a present example. But just because it's a present example doesn't mean it's limited to that example. They just meant in general. And Beit Hillel changed their opinion. Beit Chazru Beit Hillel Lhorot Kaveit Shammai. Beit Hillel changed their mind and they teach like Beit Shammai. Very, very unusual. And the Gemara explains it. Tanya, there was a baraita, Beit Amrulahem, Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai said to Beit Hillel, Lidivrechem, Eini, Ela Katsir Chitim. If I really listen to what you're saying, that we're going to focus on this example when they all went out harvesting, I'm going to take you literally now, and I'm going to say, well, it only applies to the wheat harvest. What about the barley harvest? Does it work for barley? And I've only got the guys who are actually chopping the grain. What about botser? A botser is someone who's snipping grapes. Or a mosek, that's someone who's cutting olives. Or a goder, that's someone who's taking grapes. Or maybe that's an oder, or an oder, that's someone who's harvesting figs. So how do I know all those harvestings work? in other words, if you're going to be picky, I'm going to be picky with you. Ela, but it doesn't work like that. Ela, maaseh shehaya bakatsir. It happened during the grain harvest. Behu hadin l'chulhu. But that is the same is true for all of these. Hachanami and see here too. Maaseh shehaya b'otu amidina. Actually, it happened in the same country. The hu hadin lechul hu. Same is true for all of these. Her testimony is always believed.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Daily Mishnah Podcast with Benedict.